praise God. Just close your eyes. I know we've been worshipping him, but just invite him now to teach you. Teach us your ways, Lord. Guide us in truth. You're a master teacher, a wonderful counselor. And I invite you to counsel me as I speak. Do it, Lord. We need your voice. We need your spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom and that you give us faith as we hear your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you in advance. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. Well, that was just wonderful, wasn't it? I am going to continue to speak. We're doing a series, and in all honesty, I'll tell you now, we don't know how long this series is going to take. Until the Lord says you're done, we will continue. But this series is on how to live by faith. Because that's how we're called to live. The just shall live by faith. But I want to give you some really good news right from the start. And that is, children can do this. It's so simple. Children can do this. And as adults, I think part of the problem is we try so hard at it and we get so complicated about it. We forget the simplicity of just trusting with childlike faith. And I'm just going to bring the scripture to you. Mark 10, this wonderful story of the children finally getting through to Jesus because the disciples tried to stop them. In Mark 10, it says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. I think that's an understatement. What are you doing? He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For such, or in other words, these are the ones that the kingdom of God can get to, can reach. It will go on. Next verse. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter. Oh, I love those verses. Have childlike faith, and that's how you enter. Continue to have childlike faith, and that's how you receive and go on receiving. So I'm going to bring another verse now, Romans 10:10. This is the way we enter. This childlike faith we had, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It's a two-step business. We believe in the heart, and then we release our faith with our mouth. You didn't get saved just because you heard the gospel. You had to believe it and then speak out your faith. Ha! Huh. It's really quite simple. A child can do it, and children do it. We're designed to win. I've just had this so strong on my heart all week. God never designed failures. We're designed to win. He's made us literally, naturally, and spiritually to reign in life with the one Jesus Christ. But it requires some cooperation on our part, believing in the heart, speaking with the mouth. And I've got this phrase. In fact, we've got hopefully a slide. This phrase that has been with me also all week. We need to get in sync with who we really are. And I actually looked that word, because it just came to me, this word, get in sync. Get in sync with who you really are. And I looked it up. Of course, it's the word synchronized. And it means matching, like for like. The inner man and the outer man. Get in sync with who you are. If you could have a spiritual x-ray right now, you would see the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Come on, Eileen, whoever she was. I've been saying that a lot this week. Just as the truth has impacted me afresh. We're born of God. We're called to live in this world different. And we're called to do it by faith in him. It's radically different. The world lives by faith in self. And sadly, at times we live by faith in ourselves. But we're called to be totally different and do it by faith in him. Not a little bit of what you can do or I can do, and then a little bit of what he can do when we start to struggle. He doesn't actually need our help. That's the remarkable thing, isn't it? He doesn't need the help of your flesh. In fact, he says, reckon it dead. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, you'll know this one well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, being formed new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you're a new person, I'm a new person, and we're called to do life in a new way. Faith in him. Now, can you just raise your hands, because I'm interested in this. How many of you have heard the song Goodbye Yesterday by Elevation Worship? Few of you. Well, listen, as ever, it's probably an old song, quite late to the party with songs. I've only recently discovered this song. It is a belter, isn't it? For those of you who don't know it, please find it. Please put it on. And please lift some praise to Jesus in your kitchen or your lounge or your car or wherever you are, because here's the words. It is fantastic. Goodbye yesterday. I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord. I've been born again. Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. I've traded my sorrows for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. I tell you what, there's a spirit of faith in that song. It's mighty. And I was dancing away in the kitchen yesterday, and my dog, he thinks it's a game. He dives at my feet and tries to bite, so there's a bit of jeopardy with it. I'll take that risk, because you know what, he's worth my praise and my jump. Things break off, you know, when you start to praise God like that. But we need to make sure the right one is dancing and the wrong one is in the grave. Okay? Oh, I didn't expect an ooh, but ooh, yes, absolutely right. The thing is, we only have one body. The old you can live through it, or the new you can live through it. Okay, the old me died. If you're born again, the old you died. And I'm alive to God. You're alive to God. But we will never see the transformation that we need to see if we don't think of ourselves in the right way, if we don't get in sync with who we really are. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You can't tempt a dead person. You are not going to get any reaction whatsoever out of a dead person. Nothing and nobody can get a bad reaction out of a dead person. It's an amazing way to live, but you have to reckon yourself dead. Dead to the wrong desires. Dead to the bad attitudes. That's dead. I no longer live. In fact, that brings me on to this wonderful scripture, Galatians 2, verse 20. Let's say this together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you've signed up to read Pastor Collins' book, The Great Revelation, and even if you haven't signed up to read it, please just read it. It's an amazing book, but there's a whole chapter on that verse. And he says, if we believe and live in the truth of that Galatians 2:20, we will begin a personal revival. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Remember, a child can do this. Okay, Jesus, you live in me. Nothing's too difficult for you. Here goes. The life of faith. Colossians 2, verse 6. As therefore you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Just to recap, we received him through believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. Believing and speaking, believing and speaking. So the way we started is the way we continue. Believing and speaking. And then that believing and speaking turns into a walk. There's steps of faith that you add to it. And I've been getting all these kind of, for me, like golden one-liners this week. They've really blessed me. And this was one of them. I had faith talks and faith walks. Just turn to the person next to you and say, faith talks and faith walks. You see the heart there. It all starts with the heart. Make sure I don't miss a shelf. The seed of the word, all the life's in that. But if you get it in the heart, take the time to get it in the heart and then start. You see, you get it in through meditation, actually. I'm going to go on to that a bit later, but that's the way you get it in. You receive it through hearing him speak. But then you release it through the speaking and the action, or the steps. It's so simple when we see it presented like that. Get it in the heart, speak it out, take the steps that he gives you to take. So why is it then that it can be such a struggle at times to live by faith? Well, we have an enemy, for starters, a spiritual enemy, and he works through circumstances. He can work through thoughts that come to you. He can work through other people. And our flesh responds to that at times, if you let it. So we have an enemy and we all have flesh. 1 John verse 5:19. I think this is a big reveal of Scripture. We know that we're of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. I often think of it like a parent rocking a baby, a sway. He wants to sway Christians to sleep. And it all operates through reasoning, really, natural reasoning, thinking, and then emotions always follow thoughts fairly quickly. So the world is under the influence of the enemy, and our flesh can come under the influence of the enemy if we let it. We don't have to. But his number one goal, of course, is that we live independent of God. And that we approach all of life through thinking and feeling. Independent thoughts, really. No acknowledgement of God in that situation. Just looking at life through natural eyes and responding to life naturally, like any other non-Christian would. There's a scripture, I don't have it on the screen, but it's Psalm 10, verse 4. And it goes something along the lines of, behold the proud, God is in none of his thoughts. And if the word isn't going in, you'll be able to get through one day, 2 day, multiple days even, without God in any of your thoughts. And if God isn't in your thoughts, there's no way he's going to be in your mouth or your action. No expectation of God. All that happens then is you expect natural process. So you get sick and you just expect natural process. You end up strapped for cash, you just expect natural process. You have a rebellious child, you just expect natural process. Romans 8, verse 6, I love the version in the Amplified, it says this. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. That's worst case scenario, right there. Death that comprises, it's not a physical death, but it's all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That's what we all want. Soul peace. That's what the whole world wants and spends a lot of time and money trying to find. Well, that life and soul peace come from having not the mind of the flesh, but the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit looks at things very differently. Its perspective actually is very different because it has a supernatural. Sure, it sees naturally. You and I can see naturally. That's how we see through these eyes all the time. That's how we look at any situation through these eyes. But if you have the mind of the Spirit, it will also include the supernatural. You will have a but God in your thinking. Jesus lived outside the realm of reason. you see. I've been thinking about this. That's why he looked at five loaves and two fish and 5,000 people and said, no problem. It's all right. We've got enough here. And the disciples were like, pardon? Really? The blind man, the man, I mean, he was born, there are several blind men stories through the Gospels, but the man that was born blind, I was thinking of the one where Jesus actually spat on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes and then told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I think that's how you say it. My gosh, that's not reasonable. There's absolutely nothing medicinal in clay, is there? It makes absolutely no sense to the natural mind. Yet, Jesus, he must have heard or seen the Father tell him to take that approach. And actually, it was a contact point for that man. I believe it was a contact point for that man's faith. He felt he wouldn't, look, he couldn't see the hands coming towards his eyes, but he sure felt them. And he heard the words, now go and wash. It was a contact point for his faith. And as he did that, he received his sight. It wasn't natural. It wasn't reasonable. Walking on the water. You know, the story where the disciples, they were in the boat and the winds, they often were getting into trouble and often it seemed to be in boats. They were in a boat and the waves were boisterous, it says in Matthew 14. And Jesus had been in prayer on the mountain, but he looked and he saw them in the middle of the sea. I don't know if a boat was available for Jesus to get a ride and make his way over. But again, he must have either seen or heard the Father say, walk on the water, walk over to them. Okay, incredible. And he believed because he wasn't stopped by natural reasoning. His mind bent, if you like, over that natural boundary and said, okay then, Father, I'll do that. You said it, I'll do that, supernatural. And the miracle was the disciples actually started to believe they could. And we're going to pick up the story in Matthew 14. You'll know it well, but it's very good to get it going in through your eyes and your ears fresh. So now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Wow. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. Because the natural mind says, flesh and blood can't walk on water. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good courage, cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, something happened in that man. He saw Jesus do it and thought, I love Peter. You know, he's top of the class and bottom of the class very often. And very often it's in the same scenario. But anyway, if it's you, I want to go at that. And Jesus, one word, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, mercy, you see. Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Next verse. Then those who were in the boat. Now this I find surprising because they were disciples, right? They were already following. But it's like faith came. Truly he's the Son of God. The miracles opened their eyes to see. There is a massive reveal in this story. Massive. The wind and the waves were the same when he walked on water and when he sank. When he walked on water, his eyes were on Jesus. When did he start to sink, church? When he felt the wind and saw the waves. As soon as his focus shifted off of Jesus and onto his circumstances, down he went. It's absolutely the same for us. The boisterous waves and wind, they didn't stop him as long as he was looking at Jesus. He walked. He did something absolutely supernatural and walked on water. But as soon as his eyes shifted and he felt and he saw, down he went. And I think the number one reason, I'll put it on myself, the number one reason my faith gets hijacked at times is because I see and I feel. Yes. It's the same for you. I see and I feel. I look at circumstances, I feel then an emotional response to that, and my faith then goes down. I get moved by it. It's the same for you if you're honest. But here's this very short but reveal of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. The old man or the old you is absolutely governed or controlled by your five senses. What you see, what you hear, what you feel. The new you is not controlled by it. Things might look bad, and you might hear bad news, and you might feel bad, but you're not controlled by that. No matter how bad it is you see, and no matter how bad you feel, God can raise the dead. You take the scenario to its worst case end. It doesn't matter. Even if naturally, the natural mind says there's no hope left. He's gone. She's gone. No. God gives life to the dead. I'm going to tell you a story now, and she didn't know it was coming, but many years ago, our Joni caught E. coli. I don't know. I think she ate something she shouldn't in a restaurant. Anyway, it got to a worst case scenario. She was in the hospital. We were up in Scotland at the time ministering. We got this emergency phone call. You better get here quick. She's in the hospital. It doesn't look good. Anyway, PJ went. I know the family would have been there. Nick was in the room. And PJ was in the room. And day and night, they prayed. Because it really was a on-the-brink scenario. I think, was it twice? She flatlined. They saw the screen. Beep, beep. Beep. I'm sure it was more high-pitched than that. They saw it. They heard it. And as naturally speaking, as far as any medic and as far as the natural mind was concerned, she'd gone. Twice? At least twice. But they had a but God. They had a word, you see. The word is from Psalm 84, is it verse 7? She will go from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. Now, Zion is the church. That was the word. Everything they saw and felt, every report from the medics contradicted that word, but they held fast. I'm sure their feelings were like this, but they held their course. They kept their eyes on Jesus. And gloriously, here she is today. The end of the story is, praise God, she came out. She came out. And I think that I like this kind of small addition, but, you know, the Lord's so good like this. She also went in with a stiff neck, came out, that was healed as well. Absolutely fine. But the thing is, they looked at the situation supernaturally. These eyes saw something absolutely terrible. And I'm sure, look, your emotions, they do go up and down. And mostly it would have been down, terrified. But they saw the situation with a better pair of eyes. I want you to get that this morning. We all have a better pair of eyes. We actually have two sets. We have these eyes, your natural eyes. But scripture tells us that we have eyes of the heart. In Ephesians 1, pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. We need to look at situations, not just with these eyes, but with the inner set, the better pair of eyes. You know, whenever you look at a situation with your better pair of eyes, you will always get supernatural joy. And peace, because there's joy and peace in believing. Hebrews 11:1 says this in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, or the proof, if you like, of the things we hope for. Here we go, proof. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It is a grave mistake to assume that just because you can't see something, it isn't real. The spirit realm is very real, but it's invisible. And we have to receive things first in the invisible before we receive it in the visible. I'm going to say that again because that's very important. You've got to receive it first in the unseen, in prayer, before you see it in the visible or in the seen. But there's journey, and that's the hard part for us as human beings, to stay in faith between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. And the only way to do it, you see, is to keep your eyes, unlike Peter, keep your eyes absolutely fixed and steadfast on Jesus, listening to him. Hebrews 12 tells us he's the author of faith and he's the finisher of faith. When he first speaks to you, like when they first got that promise from Psalm 84, faith comes. But it needs to keep on coming because we're constantly challenged by what we see and feel. We're constantly challenged by contradicting circumstances. So you need to keep hearing. Keep going back to him and he will keep supplying the faith you need to see that thing across the finish line. He's the finisher of it, but we have to keep seeing him here, hearing him through his word and also by the Spirit. But he's so good. He will continue to supply the faith to see it through to fulfillment if we go to him. Naturally, we get tired, discouraged, really. I don't know if you've cottoned on or kind of made this connection. If you are discouraged in your soul, you very quickly feel tired in your body. Because we're connected, you see, spirit, soul, and body. If your soul's down, your body will feel, just feel absolutely shattered. And so we have to stay buoyant by the word and the spirit. If we go to him, those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. And the enemy, of course, he is wicked to the core. There's nothing he likes better than to kick when you're already down. And he will tempt you to give in. Hebrews 10:35 says this. Therefore, this is a word for somebody this morning. Come on. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The finish line is there. If I can put it like this, I just kind of saw a picture of a podium and the gold medal or the winning trophy. There comes a point where you lay hold of it in the natural, but between the promise and the podium, you got to keep looking at him, because not only does he give you the faith and the now word that you need that day, the ability to endure comes from him. Faith and patience inherit the promises, you see. Moses endured seeing him who is invisible. You got to keep looking at him. You can't see him with these eyes, but you can with these eyes. Your better pair of eyes. The ability to endure comes from him. And when you hear him speak, the moment you hear him speak, the strength comes back. For those who are weak and those who have no might, he increases strength. When you feel that all your strength's gone and you're so discouraged and you're feeling physically tired because of what's going on in your head and heart, just go to him. He understands. He was human. He gets it. He knows how we feel. We don't have a high priest who can't empathize with our weaknesses. He knows how it is for us here on planet Earth with the wind and the waves. But he just says, come, I'll renew your strength. I'll enable you to mount up and go again in the power of my Spirit. He sits on a throne of grace. I love that so much. I love that it's a throne of grace. It could say he sits on a throne of wisdom, or he sits on a throne of power. He has wisdom, he has power, but he sits on a throne of grace. And if we go to him, we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. The word mercy, you know, in Greek, it's the same word for compassion. It could say he sits on a throne of compassion. Oh my gosh, it moves me. It really moves me that he's a compassionate God. His compassion never fails, never runs out. His mercy and truth endure through all generations. Until he comes back, his compassion and truth will endure to your children's generation, to their children's generation, and every successive generation that there will be until that glorious day when he will return. And then the age of grace will be done. But we have to rest on his goodness. When you're going on a journey of faith, particularly if it's a really tough trial, the bedrock of your faith has to be the goodness of God. You know how when they're building, they have to drill down till they hit bedrock? We have to drill down until we hit the goodness of God. Our faith must rest on the goodness of God. You can know and rely on the love of God, the scripture says. Just rest there. Briefly, I'm going to share a little bit of testimony. In 2019, I started to get really dry eyes. I'm not going to go into the symptoms of it because I don't want to get occupied with it, but really dry eyes and really light sensitive eyes. And a lot of you know this. Anyway, I went and saw a specialist and she said, sadly, this will get worse with age. I have to admit, that took me back a bit first. And it just took me a few seconds, but inwardly, I was still sitting in that chair in that office, but inwardly, I rebuke that. I rebuke those words and I'm not allowing them to settle in my heart. I'm not going to have them revolving around my head, and I'm certainly not going to start letting them out my mouth. The only reason I'm telling you today is because that's natural process and natural medical reasoning. Okay. We don't have to be subject to that. I remember saying, sitting there in the chair, saying, Jesus, you're mighty to save. I've got a mighty Savior. We don't have to be subject to natural law and natural process, you see. Things come at us, but God is able. His arm is not too short to save. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed. That's us. Anyway, I'll be honest. The word of God has been a bit in me. It's been a bit intermittent with it. I've kind of managed it in the main. I've resisted at times, but in the main, I've just kind of managed it. With eye drops and with eye masks and a whole lot of Omega things. And the good report is they haven't got worse. We're 6 years on now, they haven't got worse. They have got slightly better, but not much better. And at the start of this summer, I think it was the end of May, June time, I was really challenged to just... I thought, this is robbery. You know, whilst it isn't life-threatening, it's quite debilitating. And something in me rose up. Nothing happens, you know, for passive people. I understand. It's taken me a long time to get this. You can't inherit the promises if you're passive. You've got to have a go-get-them attitude. Because many times the enemy's trying to steal. Anyway, something rose up in me, and there's this verse, you'll know it well, Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Yes. You may be suffering violence yourself at this time, the enemy coming against you and trying to steal what God has given. But the violent take it by force. Actually, there's two violence in there. The first violent is abuse and mistreatment in the Greek. The kingdom of heaven and God's people, they experience abuse and mistreatment and injustice. However, the second violent is like an assertiveness and an energy and a determination that comes by the Spirit that says, no, 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 no. You are not taking that, and you're not taking that. And you might have taken it, but let me tell you, I'm having that back. Okay? Oh, yes. Come on. He puts the fight in, though, and we need him to. You know, like David and Goliath, you come against me, I come against you. In the name of the Lord God of hosts, whom you have defied, openly defied, like Goliath did with David and the army of Israel. It's not a fleshly thing, though. Can I just tell you this? It's not like a grit, determination, you know, marine or soldier that says, you know, I'm going to do this in by the arm of the flesh, self-power. It's a God thing. It's a word and spirit thing. And we need him to put the fight in us because, quite honestly, we run out of it. I run out of it. If you're honest, you run out of it. That kind of, no, you're not having that. No. But as we meditate on the word, you see, if we have this, look, here's the line, and the enemy says, I've crossed it and you can't. I'm saying this because I read this scripture actually this morning. It's a wonderful scripture in Genesis 22. It's talking about Abraham's descendants. And it says, I'll get to the bit. I'm going to speak about Abraham. How am I doing for time? I'm going to speak about Abraham because he's the example, other than Jesus. He's our Old Testament example anyway of how to live by faith. But it says about Abraham, in multiplying, I will multiply you. In blessing, I will bless you. And then it goes on to talk about the stars. Your descendants will be as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. But here's this bit. It really caught me this morning. And they will possess the gates of their enemies, right? So the enemy, oh, thank you. There you go. Possess the gate of their enemies, right? So the enemy puts a gate and says, you can't pass that. Na, 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 na. I've taken it and you can't get it back. No, in the name of Jesus. We'll bash those gates open by the Spirit and the Word and go in and say, no, you're not having that because it's mine and I'm taking it back. And it's that spirit of faith. And it really has to be the spirit of faith that the Lord gives. You see these tabs here? I don't hold it up. Can you see? There's quite a lot of them. There's about 20 tabs there. I've gone through the word because I'm after this healing. I'm going for it. And I'm not going to stop till I see the materialization of it, if you like, the manifestation of it. So there's all my tabs. There's all my healing scriptures. And I've done it like that because I need to keep seeing and I need to keep hearing the truth and keep declaring it in the face of symptoms, same as you, or adverse circumstances, whatever it is that you're facing. But faith comes by hearing, you see, and we need to hear and go on hearing. But also we need to see. It's really important that you don't just go off memory. It's great to quote the word, but really we need to keep it going in through the eyes as well. Keep it going in through the eyes and also have it going in through your ears. So you don't just need to read it either. Both eyes and ears, you can read about it in Proverbs 4. The way to get the word into your heart, step one on those symbols, is through the eyes and through the ears. I heard this phrase, faith is voice activated. Think about that. So you don't, whilst you need to see it, yes, you also need to be hearing your own voice say it. Okay, so I mean, I am walking around my house declaring these scriptures. When I walk my dog, I'm walking around a field declaring these scriptures. And if anybody was to see me, I hope they assume I've got one of those kind of ear thingamies in, and I'm talking to somebody on the phone because I'm like this. I'm doing invisible warfare. Speaking to my body, telling my body how it is. Speaking to the enemy, telling him how it is. Speaking to the Lord and thanking him for what he's done. But I've written this down here, and this is really important. Before the answer is in your circumstances, and before the answer comes to your body, if you're facing physical challenge, you got to get it in your soul. Get your soul full of God, if I can put it like that. Your mind full of his thoughts. Your heart full of his thoughts. Your mouth full of his thoughts. And I have to be really on it. I don't know how to say it better than that. I really know that I can't let my mind, when the symptoms come, adjust to natural reasoning. I have to take captive every thought, the same as you, that contradicts the word of God. Take it captive before it takes you captive. Because the body talks, and when it does, you need to talk back. When the devil talks, as he does, you need to talk back. We're getting there. Nearly, we're kind of coming down for the landing. Romans 4. Romans 4 tells us to walk in the steps of Abraham. As it's written, so this is the Lord to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, this is Abraham, in hope, believed. Hope's first. Hope comes first. Hope's like the springboard into faith. If you don't have faith, get hope first. Yes. Hmm. I'll tell you briefly how to do that in a minute. Many of you know, but the problem is we know a lot and don't do enough. Anyway, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. Ha! Glory! Wow! He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So look, how did he do it? How did he do it? Let's learn so that we can do the same. He was strengthened in faith through his eyes, through his ears, and through his own mouth. Number one, he had the promise. He had the promise, but he also had his imagination. Okay, we read just earlier, I hadn't planned to bring it, but brilliantly, Nike brought it. The Lord said to him, look at the stars, start to imagine. You can't count those. So shall your descendants be. Look at the sand on the seashore. Absolutely impossible. You couldn't even count a fistful. So shall your descendants be. And I had this thought this morning. It didn't matter whether he was looking up or looking down. He was reminded of the promise that triggered his imagination. It didn't matter if it was day or it was night. He had the promise to trigger his imagination. He had the promise, and he started to picture that. So shall my descendants be. Number two. He called those things that are not as though they were. How amazing. In Genesis 17, you can read God changed his name. I love that. God knows how we're made, you see. He knew he would need to have a reminder of that promise continually. Well, what better way to do that than change his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. So every time he spoke his own name, he was speaking out the promise. Every time he heard his own name, he was hearing the promise. Eyes, ears, mouth. Number three. This is where we can get unstuck. He didn't consider his own body or the natural facts. He didn't consider his wife's body. Marvelously. How amazing. He saw her. She saw him. Naturally. But they must have looked also with their better pair of eyes. The eyes of faith. Yes, but you've got difficulty getting out of the chair, love. God said. Do you know what I mean? God said. Number four, I'll say no more than that. Number four, he didn't waver because he continued to give God thanks and praise. So he didn't waver between promise and fact, because we all do this. It was horrible. Do you remember the pirate ship at the theme park? It was horrible, horrible. I don't like any of those things. I've been on quite a few of them. But that one, awful. But this is what we can all do throughout the day. Promise, praise God, praise God. Fact. Oh no, oh no. Back to the promise. Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh, and down we go again. But I'm seeing, I'm feeling, I'm hearing. He didn't waver. He didn't do it like that. And the way he didn't do it like that, I believe, all of the things that have gone before, but also he gave glory to God, meaning thanks and praise. He kept thanking God. He kept praising God in advance. Praise is so powerful. I'm not going to say much about it because we know this, but it's so powerful. Our emotions go down. But let me tell you, if a spirit of heaviness comes on you, there's one sure way to throw that heavy chainmail cloak off, and that's praise. Get some praise and worship on, crank it up, and get your eyes back on Jesus. We have to do it in advance. Kenneth Hagin called it the praise cure. Love that. Yeah. The praise cure. We have to do it in advance. Do it when your facts still look terrible. Do it when your body still feels terrible. When your bank account is talking to you. Now, but things talk, of course, and you have to talk back. But we have to. Joshua and Jericho, they had to praise before the walls came down. So when you don't feel like it, praise him. When you do feel like it, praise him, because praise keeps us bright. We both PJ and I do what we call a prayer clean or a praise clean. When we clean our houses, we're either prayer cleaning or praise cleaning. And at the moment, I've got one song on repeat by CC Winans. You said, I believe, you said, it is done. And honestly, I'm like going around like Mr. Sheen, hoovering, polishing, doing whatever needs doing. But in my spirit, I'm like, come on, you said it, I believe it. You said it, that's it. It's a done deal. I'm going to agree with you. This soul is going to agree with you, not natural facts. Let's stand. Praise God. I know it's been a bit long. Oh, yes, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. You're a mighty God and you're mighty to save. I just want to say this. Ash, if you wouldn't mind coming to minister, we're going to respond because we need to respond to this message this morning. Don't look to your circumstances or your body for encouragement. When you take this on, right, if you decide to do it God's way, Abraham's way, and anybody in any generation that's laid hold of a promise, if you're going to do it the faith route, don't look to your circumstances as a measure as to whether God's at work or not, because you will go down. You will go down, and the enemy will keep trying to get your eyes like Peter and the wind and the waves onto that. Listen. If things are 50% better after you've prayed, listen carefully now, if things are 50% better after you've prayed, that is no reason to believe. If things are 50% worse after you've prayed, that's no reason to doubt. Because our reason for believing is to be entirely based on this book. God said it, I believe it, that settled it, settles it. Oh, come on, I've said it enough times. The circumstances might look bad and I might be feeling really awful today. But Jesus, I exalt your word above myself. I exalt your word above my body. I exalt your word above those contradicting circumstances. And I say, you're not a man that you should lie. Your word doesn't return void. It will accomplish that thing you send it for if we will just do our part and get it into our hearts and release it through speaking and taking whatever steps you give us to take. Pastor Colin in his book, oh, I'll just give you a wonderful one-liner that he says. It's just the last slide. Back to the heart and the mouth and the taking the steps. He says in his book, he's talking about faith as a seed. Because faith, look, if you were to look at a seed, a single seed in your hand, it looks so small, so powerless, so absolutely, it looks as nothing, doesn't it? Looks like it couldn't change a single thing. And yet if we will get it into our hearts and that seed begins to germinate and take root, there's nothing that that seed of faith in God can't do. And he says, Pastor Colin, you don't need a great amount of faith to see results. You just need to put what you've got to work. Church, you might be standing there thinking, well, I've got a seed. I'll tell you from the word, you've got a seed. He's already put a measure of faith in you. You have the faith of God. And it might look small and it might feel small. And you might be like, really, is it in there? But a mustard seed of faith can move a mountain. Let's close our eyes. Oh, Jesus, you're the author. You're the source of faith. You keep on supplying to enable us to get across the finish line. Thank you, Lord. We can all do this. Thank you that we can all put our faith to work. But the first thing to do, church, is to stop being anxious about that situation. Whatever it is you're facing, some of us in this room really are facing giants at the moment. Others of you, it may be lesser level, but nevertheless, we're called to live by faith in every aspect of life, whatever the challenge is, however big or small the enemy is. So whatever the condition of your body, whatever is going on with your children, in your bank account, whatever the challenge is at the moment, just take a moment to commit it to the Lord. Bible says God is able to keep that which is committed to him. He's able to take care. But there has to be a handing over. And I know very well at times where there has to be a multiple handing over, because you hand it over, it comes back. Well, I'm asking you this morning to hand it over one more time and put it into the safest hands of the universe, the biggest hands of the universe, the hands for whom nothing is too difficult. Just tell him, I put it into your hands today and I refuse to worry about it. Cast all your care on him, scripture says. He cares for you affectionately. Jesus, we honor you. We honor you for who you are. We honor you for the example of your life. When you were here in human form, we thank you for the scriptures that have been passed down through generations, and we can read of how you did it and how multiple other heroes of faith did it in their generation. But Lord, count me in. That's what I want to say to the Lord this morning. I want to do this life by faith in you. With my eyes firmly fixed on you. I don't want to do life by the arm of the flesh, by the mind of reason, sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit that just considers everything of life in a natural way. I don't want to be moved by that, tossed to and fro by that. Lord, help us to become more stable by keeping our eyes fixed on you. And Holy Spirit, I pray, remind us of this word. This afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning, when circumstances talk, remind us of this. And thank you. You give us the faith to rise up on the inside and speak back. This may be, but God. That might be a natural fact, but God. We just worship you. We thank you. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. Oh, we thank you for your compassion, Jesus. We can know and rely on it. And thank you, Lord, as we go to you, you give us what we need for these journeys of faith that we are on. Lord, we don't just want to be on a journey. Anybody on the street will tell you life's a journey, but we're called to do this journey by faith. Look, really, if that's the prayer of your heart this morning, tell him, I don't want to just journey through life like a normal, natural human being. I want to do this journey with you, Jesus. And I want to do it with faith in you. Believing in the heart, speaking with the mouth, and taking the steps you call me to take. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you as the one for whom nothing is too difficult. Natural law and natural process have never stopped you. They do stop us, Lord, at times. But Lord, help us to lift our eyes and see, the one who is with us and the one who is in us. We give you thanks and praise, Jesus. Help us to walk this out, Lord, in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. Help us. Help us. Holy Spirit, you're a wonderful helper. Thank you for being my helper. Just thank him for being your helper. Let's give him some praise, church. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.